I certainly thank you, folks. You've certainly been very kind to me. Brother Keith and Pat served as a delicious dinner, and that's about anything in the world you want, I guess. And we do appreciate all your kindness. Let's turn in our Bibles to Matthew chapter 10. And then we're going to begin reading with verse 37. Let's back up to verse 34. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. He that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loses his life for my sake shall find it. He that receiveth you receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. He that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. Whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. Father, we come before you at this moment knowing that we seek a blessing from your word. But we know, Heavenly Father, that without your presence and the Holy Spirit to guide us, that no matter what we might do, it will not accomplish that. We ask you, Lord, that you might visit at this time, and that the Spirit might not only deal with the speaker, that your word might go forth in its truth, but it might deal with the hearts of all your children that are here, that the word of truth might find a lodging place and might bless them and strengthen them and instruct them in the ways of righteousness. Lord, we stand in your presence in great need, for we recognize that in ourselves we can accomplish nothing. But Father, we believe that Paul said it very clearly, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Use us now at this moment, Heavenly Father, and let your name be worshipped and praised and honored, which in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. I don't think that there's anything in the world more wonderful than God's love for us. We can find a lot of things to talk about, and things that we might enjoy speaking on. We love to speak on the various doctrines of the Word of God and things of that nature. But for the last year or so, God has impressed me with some things I think that are very important. Yesterday evening I preached on sin forgiven. Now, folks, I don't know of anything in this world that's more wonderful than to know that your sins are forgiven.
Amen.
When you once see how devastating sin really is, and how God looks at sin, and how terrible our sins are in His sight, then realize that God, because He loved us before the foundation of the world, provided a sacrifice that was capable of taking away our sins. In the Old Testament, the sacrifices of the animals was an atonement, and they had to be offered every year, especially the atonement for sin. But in Jesus Christ, our Savior offered Himself as the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. An atonement is an Old Testament word. It means to cover over and put off. It's the same word used in Genesis chapter 6 when God instructed Noah to build the ark and told him to pitch it within and without. That word pitch, same word. And it simply means that he put the waterproofing, we want to call it, that on the outside and inside, which put off the judgment of God and by covering over the ark. That's what an atonement is. Jesus Christ didn't offer atonement, folks.
Amen.
He reconciled.
Amen.
He took away from us not only the guilt being charged with sin.
Right. Yes.
He took away our sins.
Amen.
They'll not be remembered anymore.
Amen.
I don't think there's a subject in the Bible that I would rather deal with than the fact that I stand before God as holy as God is. Can't you imagine that? Isn't there something? We have the righteousness of Jesus Christ, which is equal to the righteousness of the Father. His righteousness was imputed unto us when He took our sins.
Amen.
That means God can find nothing wrong with us. Our holiness, our righteousness, is equal to God's own righteousness. And that's an amazing thought, folks. That's how much God loved us. When we study the Bible on God's love, and we start seeing the wonder of it and how amazing it really is. As God's children, it should within our hearts build this tremendous love and affection for our Father and for our Savior. If we come together to worship, the main purpose to worship is to worship God. And in so doing, we give glory and honor to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's our go-between. He's our advocate. He's the one who pleads our case even now when we presumptuously sin against God. We have this wonderful high priest seated at the right hand of the Father. And, you know, he's never lost a case. He satisfies the demand for the time we sin. A little hard to understand that God would have so much love for us that He would give us a salvation that's absolutely perfect in every way. But there's some requirements with this, brethren. There's some requirements that God places on those whom He awakens from the darkness of sin and gives spiritual light. There are things that God requires His children to do and to act. And they're not sometimes the most easiest things to do. In the text I've chosen, you'll notice that Jesus simply said, if anyone loves their father or mother more than me, he's not worthy of me. He that loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. You find this recorded in three of the gospel writers. In the book of Luke, chapter 14, verse 26, it gives us similar, the same thing, same accounting of Christ. But Luke records it with the word hate. And he says, he that hateth not his father and his mother and so on is not worthy of Christ. Now, I'm not real sure I can interpret the true meaning of that. I don't think God requires us to hate our parents, certainly, or our children. And I believe the word is put in there in that manner to maybe impress upon us the importance of what's being said. Brother, this is a commandment our Lord gave that strikes home with every one of us. We are all capable of loving our families. I hope we are. The respect and love we have for mothers and fathers alone should be, even biblically, be a great respect. We should never at any time bring disrespect towards our parents. But when we compare our relationship to God and to Christ, then it's just as strongly as can be said, all of our affection belongs to Him. And I don't say that I can truly understand it all, but I believe that. I don't know if any of us are capable of truly worshiping our God. We are flawed as we remain in this fleshly body. Our carnal minds are not subject to law of God, and neither indeed can be. We're only subject to the God's law through the leadership of the Holy Spirit, and this physical nature is flawed. It became flawed in the garden with Adam, and it remains flawed. We have a new nature through Christ, a nature that calls us to call out, Abba, Father, to worship God, to do the things that God requires of us. But brethren, in all honesty, we have a warfare, because being housed in this body of clay, which is depraved in its sense, subject to temptations and desires and covetousness and all kinds of crazy things, it is difficult in this life to love God the way we should. That's what I want to point out this evening. I want to begin by asking a question. Now, I'm sure that most of you here, if not all of you, have tasted of Christ, found Him to be gracious. You know the love of God, which is shed abroad in our hearts. It's the most wondrous feeling in all the world to have a true relationship with God's Son and with our Father through Him. But I want to ask you this question, and I hope you'll spend a little time thinking about it, and maybe the Lord, through the Holy Spirit, will guide us all into a closer relationship with our Heavenly Father. You know that God loves you. If you're saved, you can't help but know that. You really understand John 3:16 when it says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son." That little word "so" there tells us the extent of it, the amazing part of it, that God's love was so extreme that He gave Jesus Christ. Folks, we can't really understand what went on in heaven in the times in which Jesus came into the world, and when He was crucified and charged with sin and all the things that happened. And He is said to have laid in the bosom of the Father. There was never any separation between the Father and Son. They were in perfect harmony. But all of a sudden they weren't. And God turned His back on His own Son. In all the history of in eternity, that's never happened or never happened again. It was a scene that took place that, in all honesty, had to be considered a most amazing scene, that two holy beings could be separated in such a way, not because He had sinned, but because we had. For God made Him sin for us who knew no sin. Can't you just imagine what a wondrous thought that is? So I ask you now, how do you really feel about Jesus Christ? What's in your heart in reality concerning this most amazing Savior we have?
Yeah.
You know, there's probably hundreds and hundreds of folks today that are on church books and go to church and do a lot of things. They think they're saved because they've done some things or prayed through, and all kinds of crazy things that's going on in the world today. But these folks don't love Jesus Christ. And there's one of those folks here tonight. I want them to understand that you cannot be a child of God and not have this relationship with God's Son. It's only through Him. Not only an acknowledging of Him, but having the Holy Spirit to shed abroad His love in your heart. And you cry out to God.
Yes.
I know what it was when the Holy Spirit touched my heart. I was a sinner. I knew I was. I listened to a man declare how God hated sin, and I realized that God hated me. I was a sinner. I didn't know what to do. I'd never been to church but my whole life. That was the only time. And I wasn't in church then. I was in a little program at high school. But I know what I did. I know what God made me to do. I cried out to God to help me, because I knew He could. The Spirit had shown that to me. You can't be saved and not have an experience with the Lord. You can't be saved by doing something or saying something or praying through or any of those things. You're saved by the marvelous grace of God through the power of God Himself and the Holy Spirit. You're not saved any other way. And if you are saved, then in your own heart, you know how you feel towards Jesus Christ. Jesus is saying here that, and if you notice, He uses the normal love that we all have, the love we have for our families, our fathers and our brothers and sisters, and then certainly, of course, our sons and our daughters, this marvelous relationship we have in the flesh. It's shucks, I got grandchildren and great-grandchildren. I know what love is in the family. But Jesus said, compared to your love to mine, you can't be compared. If you don't love me more than you love these, you're not worthy of me.
Yeah.
So I want to build on that a little bit. Hopefully I can encourage you to look into your heart and maybe examine just how much do you love Jesus. You know, folks, the Bible says that He has a bride. There's a lot in the Bible about the bride. If you go to studying it, that bride's going to be His bride in the eternal kingdom, going to dwell in the New Jerusalem, close to the Lord in that marvelous city. I want to be there. I don't know about you folks. I want to be that close to Jesus. I remember years ago, the Lord had just saved me. I didn't know much of anything. And I heard a guy singing a song that says, "Build me a cabin in the corner of glory land." And it didn't sound right to me then. And I didn't know anything. I didn't want a cabin in the corner of glory land.
Yeah.
I wanted to be close to Jesus.
Yeah.
What's important to you? What do you think about when you first get up in the morning? What's on your mind when you lay in your bed to go to sleep at night? When you're working or doing your daily chores, and what do you think about? What's in your mind? What thoughts penetrate you and deal with you throughout your daily life? Is it meditation on the wonders of God's grace? Do you think about Jesus and how absolutely blessed you are to know Him as your Savior and to love Him because He first loved you? That's what the Bible says. If He really has shown His love to you, He gave you a new nature that's able to love Him.
Yeah.
We don't have any excuse not to love Him. Put Him first in our lives in everything we do.
Amen.
In John chapter 12, verse 26 says, "If any man serve me, let him follow me. For where I am, there my servant may be also. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor." If any man serve me, you'll study your Bible, you'll find it quite often that word serve means to be a slave. And the Bible tells us that He has purchased us, and both body and soul belongs to Him. He has every right to tell us what to do and to expect us that we love Him supremely. Right. He has that right. He's not asking for too much.
Right.
In fact, it's something that one who's truly saved wants to give. It's in our heart to please our Savior. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 16, Peter speaks of a liberty. And he says, as free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of the slaves of God. Word cloak means to hide behind. You know, folks, that we live in a time where a great number of people blaspheme the name of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. People who confess Jesus Christ as their Savior, people who pretend to be Christians, and yet they live a life that's contrary to the Word of God and bring a reproach on the Savior they claim to know. If you remember in the Old Testament, the Israelites did that, and God said that they caused the nations, the heathen nations around them, to blaspheme His name because they claimed to be God's people but didn't act like it. We've been made free from the condemnation law. I like to think that freedom applies to the Old Testament way of worship. You folks ever study the Old Testament and see what was required of the Israelites to worship God? You ever see the sacrifices that were offered when Solomon dedicated the temple? Thousands of animals was killed that day. The blood must have run freely as they dedicated the temple. Over and over again, the shedding of blood was required that they might approach God in worship. And yet all that blood could not cleanse from one man his sins. Not one sin, but the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us all from our sins. Don't you agree with me tonight, folks, that we owe Him an awful lot? He is the greatest, the most wonderful fellowship and person we know. Nothing like Him. No one loves us like He loves us. No one would do for us what He did for us. Not even our family. And Jesus said, I've earned this. Your dedication and your love belongs to me. And you're supposed to love me more than anyone else. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 verse 21 says, to them that are without law, as without law, being not without the law of God, but under the law of Christ, that I might gain them that are without the law. That is, Paul was saying that he become all things as God's servant, that he might win some to Christ.
Yeah.
Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21, he said, for even hitherto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow His steps. Don't you agree with me that that's a big order? To be commanded by God to follow in the steps of Jesus Christ. I don't know exactly how we do that. To be dedicated to His Word and His commandment. In the book of John, John records the Lord saying, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And then he said, him and the Father would come in and make their abode with us. I love those verses. They're verses that tell us that if we walk in obedience to Christ, we'll have this sweet and most wonderful relationship with Him. Now folks, common sense would tell you, if you don't walk in obedience, if we walk in the flesh, after the things of the flesh, If we put those things before Jesus Christ, don't expect the love of Christ to be manifest in your life and in your heart. It won't happen.
Yeah.
It takes obedience, dedication, and love from you for the Savior. For God, through the Holy Spirit, to bless our hearts and to give us the joys that we desire.
Yeah.
Galatians 5 and verse 1, Paul said, "Stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage." And in verse 13 he says, "For brethren, we have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion of the flesh." That is, don't use the liberty God has given us to satisfy, to gratify the flesh, but to use it to worship God. We don't have to keep the law. We don't have to offer sacrifices. We don't have to go to a priest and confess our sins. We don't have to do all those things. God has made us our own high priest. We could come before the very throne of God in prayer.
Amen.
And confessing our sins. And John tells us in his first epistle, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What a wonderful thought. That's how much God loves us. A desire to serve Him. You know, folks, over the years that I have been blessed of the Lord to preach and pastor churches, and I've met some wonderful folks. I really have. Some of God's people, those that really love the Lord, they're sweet folks, and fellowship is always wonderful. But I've met some that I had to sort of step back and raise my eyebrows a little bit. I didn't know whether they really knew the Lord or not. I couldn't make that judgment, but there was something wrong, because they claimed to be saved children of God, but they sure didn't act like it. Folks, we're supposed to act like the sons of God, not sons of the world, not children of the devil. We're supposed to walk like sons of God. We're supposed to live a life that's aimed at giving praise and worship to our Savior. He deserves it. Everything we can give Him belongs to Him. You know, the Bible says that all things were created for His glory. You were created for the glory of Jesus Christ. If you're saved, then someday in the kingdom of heaven, you'll be a trophy of grace. You'll be something that declares the wonders of God's love and the love of the Savior who washed away your sins. If you're not saved, you'll give Him glory in hell.
Yeah.
You'll pay for your sins, in which the law demands.
Yeah.
Folks, let me tell you something. Jesus Christ is the most wonderful thing that ever enters a person's life. There's nothing like it. It changes you completely, inside and out. It changes the way you live, the way you think. It makes you excited. It makes you happy. And, oh my, when you begin to taste of Him, I always thought that verse meant when you begin to realize and feel the love of God. My, what a blessing. Did you know, folks, that love is a wonderful thing? There's nothing like it. I wonder sometimes, I know there are animals that can be devoted to different things, but I can't think that there's any other creature that God made that knows how to love. Not like we do, the kind of love we have. We are able to love a husband or a wife. There's nothing like it. When you find the right one, when God leads you to the one that you're going to spend your life with, let me tell you something, folks, there's nothing like that. The relationship, the closeness, the fellowship you have in every way is absolutely marvelous. You know, the wife is commanded to obey her husband. But you know what the husbands are commanded to do? Love his wife.
Yeah.
John, or Paul, he in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25, says, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved his church and gave himself for it." Now, husbands, that's a whole lot of love. And that's what we're supposed to do. You're supposed to love them, not fuss at them and argue with them and all those kind of things. Be kind and love them, because that's what God requires. If you think that you can overdo Jesus when he showed his love for his church and died for it, then you go right ahead. See if you can do it. I don't think you can. The love we have that he gave us. But you know what I believe that God gave us this love for? You know why that we have this ability to have this sweetness and this relationship and this joy in our hearts that means so much to us? So that we can love him. God gave us everything we need, folks, to obey him in every commandment he's given. And when he says that he that keepeth my commandments is he that loveth me, he's simply saying if you care about me the way you're supposed to and love, keeping my commandments not going to be hard, because you'll want to. You want to please him. He's your Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 12 says, "For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jew or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit." In this verse, he is showing the unity of the children of God. You know, Paul addressed the Thessalonican church, and he told me, you know, he says, "I hear that there be divisions among you," and I partly believe it. I mean, it seems like he said that in sort of a sarcastic way, because there cannot be in the Lord's assembly a division. We're supposed to have the same mind. We're supposed to be in complete harmony in order to worship God. When there is a division in the church, whatever caused the division should be faced immediately and taken care of.
Yeah.
So many times churches are afraid to hurt somebody's feelings and they won't handle it. Brothers and sisters, I'd a whole lot rather hurt somebody's feelings than make my Lord mad at me. Because I know what he can do.
Yeah.
How do we feel about him? Oh, I could spend a lot of time talking about Jesus. I could take up more time necessary. You know, the children of Israel were told, Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 12, it says, "Now, Israel, what does the Lord thy God require of thee? But to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul." Now, Israel worshiped God through the keeping of the law, the sacrifices. But they hadn't tasted of Christ like we have. If Israel was commanded to worship God with all their heart and with all their soul, brethren, we are required to do the same. Because we have a Savior who got the job done.
Yeah.
We don't have to do some religious ritual or offer sacrifices or anything over and over again. We have eternal life already in Christ.
Yes.
It's ours.
Yeah.
We owe him everything.
Yeah.
We need to speak to him often. Psalms 40 and verse 16 said, "Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. And let such as love thy salvation say continually." Do you love his salvation? Isn't it wonderful to be saved? Come on, people.
Yeah,
isn't it wonderful to be saved?
Yeah,
we're the sons of God through Jesus Christ. And here in the book of Psalms, it said, Let they continually say, the Lord be magnified, to worship Him. I don't know. Sometimes I wonder about some things. I know that there's some things that we don't understand, and there's certainly some things that we fail in. But brothers and sisters, we have every reason to lift up our hearts, our voices,
yes,
and give praise to our God, because He has had mercy on our souls. He has redeemed us. He's made us whole. He's called us His sons. No wonder the Apostle John declared the wonders of God's love, that we are called the sons of God.
Amen.
I've got a Father in heaven that has guaranteed me the best of everything. He's even got me a place to live eternally in His kingdom. He's taken care of every problem I've ever had, especially in the way of sin and failures. And as many times as I have failed, He's taken care of it.
Amen.
We've got more to shout about than this world has ever dreamed of.
Yeah.
But you know what? Baptists have a terrible time,
yeah,
praising God. We do. I think to my own heart that we are failing in many ways. Because if we can't rejoice in the things that God has done for us and guaranteed us, we can't rejoice when we speak of the home we have with Him in heaven. How in the world can we rejoice with anything else in this world?
Yeah.
I mean, I always thought it's sort of funny to watch ball game. You ever see people at a ball game? Oh boy. Let your team be winning.
Yeah.
And they know how to shout. They know how to make noise. But brethren, we're on the winning side. We belong to God. Why can't we praise our God in a way that someone else can hear and know that God is still in the heavens and He has servants here on this earth? I'm getting old. I don't know how much longer I'm going to be able to stand before a congregation and preach. But sometimes I long to see somebody get excited about Jesus. I was in a Bible conference in Naples, Idaho, two years ago, something like that. Brother Ted Tweed was preaching, and he got carried away and actually hollered, "Praise God!" And Brother Killian sitting back there with his wife, and he almost jumped plumb out of the pew, and he hollered, "Praise God." And I thought Baptists were going to have revival for a little while. You can, folks. There's nothing wrong with it. It is if you do it in false, if you don't really rejoice, yes, there's plenty wrong with it. But when the Holy Spirit gets a hold of your heart, and you see the wonders of God's grace, and you see how much God loves you, let me ask you something. How can you not love Him? How can you not want to praise Him? How can you not want to serve Him? My goodness. Do you know Him, my friend? Have you tasted of Him? Have you felt the joys of Jesus Christ in your heart? Has He awakened within you the need of a Savior and presented Himself to you as your hope and your Lord and your God? If He has, don't tell me you don't want to praise Him. I know you do if you're really saved. He's a wonderful Savior. I'm sometimes amazed how much He forgives us. But you know He does it completely. The wonders of it all is that Jesus died for our sins. When the Lord first saves us and we realize that we're sinners and we confess those sins and we turn to the Lord, that's wonderful. When the Lord saved me, I thought I wasn't going to sin anymore. I didn't know anything about Bible or doctrine or anything. And I went home and a whole bunch of brothers and sisters, and I had to a brother that's 2 years younger than me that's the meanest little rascal you ever seen in your life. He did everything in this world to get me upset, make me do all the work. And, oh, I'd get mad at him. And I realized real quick, after my brother got through with me, that I was still sinning. It scared me to death. I thought I was lost again. I really did. And I started studying and started asking questions, going to church. And do you know what happened when I found 1 John chapter 1, verses 8, 9, and 10? Oh, I wanted to shout, brother, because I realized that Christ not only died for the sins I have committed, but for every sin I'm going to commit. Amen. Not because I want to, but because I'm clay and I will. Amen. But it says, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I like that, cleansing from all unrighteousness. Because you see, folks, that's the only way we can stand in God's presence. We've got to be cleansed, washed clean by the blood of Jesus Christ. Have you experienced it? Is it real to you? I hope it is. If it isn't, the only thing that's required is to realize your sins and how much you need Him. And just close your eyes and call out to God. He'll answer. He did for me. May God bless you. And may the Lord touch your heart and cause you to see Jesus Christ for what He really is. Brother Keith.